We are in this series entitled Dealing with Difficulty. Anybody ever dealt with difficulty? Okay, good. We learned last week it's not if you deal with difficulty, it's just when. Nobody gets to escape it. You can't pray it away. You can't obedient it away. You can't come to church it away. It's going to happen. The only issue is what are we going to do with it? How are we going to deal with it? And I'm going to ask you this. As you go through difficulty, do you ever think that God isn't acting right? Do you ever just think about what's going on in your life or maybe in the life of someone around you and going, you know, God's just not acting right. Matter of fact, he didn't do what I wanted him to do. He didn't do what I think he should have done. And he didn't do what I know he could have done. He just didn't. I mean, would you be honest enough today in your story, maybe today or in the story of somebody close to you, go, you know what? I never thought of it that way, but you know what? He's not acting right. He's just not acting right. You know, I think in the religious world, and you're a part of it this morning, if this is your only time, you're a part of it, so you're in danger of this. I think sometimes those who know about God and think about God and they think about difficulty, they look at other people going through difficulty and they go, well, have you ever said this? Now, everything happens for a reason. Stop it. Stop it. Everything happens for a reason. And those of you who have been on the back end of that comment, that's that person's way of saying, I don't know. Instead of just being honest, going, I don't know why, I don't understand it all. His ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts. They're above me. We come up with these things, well, now everything happens for a reason. Then we run around going, I wonder what it is. That's our way of saying, I don't know. And I want to give you the freedom today, and if this is your first time here, maybe you're tuning in for the first time, we're a kind of a church that you can be honest with God. Because God wants you to be honest with him, and he's not afraid of your comments today. He's not afraid of your questions. He's not afraid of your doubts. He's not afraid of you coming going, you know what? I don't think you're acting right from my viewpoint. Now, you think, well, Jeff, we would stand alone. No, if you go through Scripture, there are people who are going through life, their story, because everybody's got a story, and in their story, guess what is part of their story? Difficulty. And part of their difficulties is encased with, I don't understand this. There's a guy named John the Baptist in the New Testament. A little bit about John the Baptist. Here's a guy that is basically the first prophet in 400 years. The Old Testament closes in the book of Malachi, and the next person we really hear from as sent by God is, besides an angel, is John the Baptist. He's related to Jesus. His mother and Jesus' mother are related. When you think about him, and he just basically was saying, hey, there's one coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. If you think about what he said, when he saw Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 29, it simply says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It was John who said in John chapter 3 and verse 30, when he looked at Jesus, he said, he must become greater and I must become less. In Luke chapter 7, verse 28, Jesus says about John, no one born of a woman, that's going to cover everybody, is greater than John. No one born of a woman is greater than John. Well, in John's story, and if you want to follow along, it's in Matthew chapter 4, and it'll be on the screen as well. John was one of those people who... He had a lot to say, and he said it very directly. And one of the things that he said was to King Herod, the ruler of that day, who was in a relationship that he should not have been in. He married his brother's wife, you know, Real Housewives of the Bible. And nothing you watching got anything on the Bible. And so he's talking to Herod about this, and guess what? Herod doesn't like it, and his wife really doesn't like it. And so guess what? They arrest John. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, it says when Jesus... So this guy, no one greater than this guy. It says that when Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, he ran straight to prison and got him out. Is that in your translation? If it is, we need to talk. It says he withdrew to Galilee. He went the other direction. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. Wait a minute. The guy who's the forerunner of you, he's your wingman. He's been put into prison for speaking the truth of your word. This is where Jesus, you go get him out. And so what did Jesus do? Well, you skip down to verse 17. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Guess whose message that was? John's. Well, you flip on over a couple of pages in Matthew chapter 11, we pick up John's story. It says that after Jesus had finished instructing in verse 1 of Matthew 11, his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. And so he's just out doing ministry. But let me remind you, John's in prison. And when John, who was in prison, just in case you forgot, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Let me translate part of that for you. I don't think you're doing what I thought you were going to do. And part of that, you have to think, I'm in prison, buddy. Jesus replied, and you would hope for it, now let's just be honest, if you're uncomfortable being honest, you're going to be uncomfortable for the next 21 minutes or so. Jesus replied, because I want to say, Jesus went. Jesus did a Jesus thing and got him out. It says that Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see, and he's going to report to John who's in prison. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. In other words, when John gets this message, John's thinking, he can. He can. But he hasn't. And Jesus said, and if you don't get much out of today, you want to underline this. Jesus says, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Tell John about the many miraculous things. And John says, so you can, but you haven't. You been there? Would you be honest enough to say today, would you be honest enough to say, I know someone, there's somebody close to me, I know he can, but to this point, he hasn't. What are you going to do with that? It goes on in Matthew 14, flip over another page, it says John's disciples came, and guess what has happened? King Herod has killed John. And John's disciples came and took his body and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And I love this verse, because you got to read this verse in light of the whole story. It says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Can I say what you're thinking? What about John? What about me? What about fill in the blank? Why not John? Jesus says, blessed, happy, at peace, life at its best is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Who doesn't quit and doesn't give up just because they have questions. Who doesn't quit and doesn't give up just because they don't understand it all. Blessed is the person. I'm glad you came back this week. And some of you are thinking, I wish I hadn't. Stick with me, because this is life. I'm looking at some of your faces. And I know just about this much of your story, and there's people around you who know about this much of your story, and I know about this much of the story that are tuning in today, of people tuning in today, and they're going, you know, I've never thought of it that way, because I don't think like you, Jeff, but maybe deep down, I don't think he's acting right. because I thought I would, and then he would, and then this would happen, and everything would be the way I prayed. You see, John doesn't stand alone. This is a guy who Jesus said, there's no one greater born of a woman than him. And then you kind of transition to another story. There's a guy named Lazarus. Lazarus is good friends with Jesus. And we read about his story in John chapter 11. And his whole family hangs out with Jesus. They do life with Jesus. In John chapter 11, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. And he was from Bethany in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It says, this Mary is... who's also the sister of Lazarus, who was sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. They're tight. They've worshiped him. They know who he is. But Lazarus is sick, and so verse 3 says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. They've concluded Jesus needs to do something. You ever been there? Come on. Y'all act like y'all don't need Jesus to do anything today. You ain't never talked to him about anything. They've concluded in their story, in their family, we need Jesus to do something. And so they send word to Jesus, the one you love is sick. And so what they do is we've got a situation that we think Jesus needs to attend to. We know he can attend to, so we're going to send word to him. Have you ever had a plan before? I'm going to do this, and then God's going to do this, and this is where we're going to end up. Anybody ever had a plan with Jesus? That's all they got. We're going to send word. Why do you think they were sending word to Jesus? He can handle it. And he loves Lazarus. Now, later on in life, I wonder if Lazarus didn't gather his sisters together, because do y'all know the end of the story? Okay, well, just stick with me. For those of you who are still tore up about John the Baptist, Lazarus is coming back from the dead. See, okay, there you go. Whoo! Thank God we're killing people left and right in here. But wait just a minute, though. They had a plan. You got a plan. I'm going to do this, and God's going to do this. God's going to heal. He's going to restore. He's going to put it back together. He's going to bring me the job. He's going to get us pregnant. We're going to have a baby. We have a plan, and we've involved God in it. Now, later on in life, if I'm Lazarus and I'm sitting with the sisters, I was with my sisters Friday, I would say, listen, when I was about to die, y'all didn't say much. All you said was, the one you love is sick. See, I wanted them to go through my resume. I want them, because that's what we do. When we try to get somebody to do something, we go, now let me remind you who this is. Let me remind you everything he's done. But here's what you need to learn. The ones that were close to Jesus, we're not going to appeal to Jesus from Lazarus' point, we're going to appeal to Jesus from Jesus' viewpoint of Lazarus. God, don't you see I'm in a church? Don't you know my daddy gave the land for the church? Don't you know we are a generation after generation of followers of Jesus Christ? Don't you understand who we are? And so you need to. They simply said, hey, the one you love is sick. Now, you got a plan? Because I'm going to tell you, they got a plan. They believe that what will move God most is his love for Lazarus, not Lazarus's love for Jesus. And so, look at this. They send this note to him. And in verse 5, I love this, just in case you thought they made it up. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They weren't misled. He did. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he immediately ran to Bethany. And he did what only he could do. Because that was the plan. No. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And if you write in your Bible and you want to have like Mississippi honesty, you write in there going, are you kidding me? See, that's what we think. You ain't going to say it up in church, but that's what you think. Y'all going to sit here with your arms crossed and act all religious. But, hey, man, when you're in the middle of a mess and you call out. Finally, in verse 7, he says, hey, let's go back to Judea. Let's go to Bethany. And Verse 17 says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Thanks for coming. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But look at this. But Mary stayed at home. Why do you think Mary stayed at home? She said, I better not go talk to him right now. You ever been that? She's like, I don't need to pray right now. I just need to be quiet. You ever been there? Because see, if you weren't here last Sunday we started with me telling you, I told God a while back when I was looking at some of y'all, that's enough. But Mary didn't go. I don't know. I don't know why. We're going to talk about it in heaven one day. We're gonna, hey, why didn't you go out there with your sister? And I bet she's going to say, I needed to be by myself just a little bit longer because he didn't follow the plan. That's where some of you are today. But Mary stayed home. But I love this. Lord, Martha goes on, and she's honest. Come on, get this kind of honest. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let me translate that for you. If you had acted right, if you had followed the plan, we wouldn't be in this situation. But I love it, verse 22. But I know you can. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. You didn't do what we wanted or expected or what you could do. What we know you can do. Verse 32, Mary gets herself together. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, this is good. Same thing. I mean, she's at the feet of Jesus. Are you there today? To be honest enough to go, Lord, if you had followed the plan, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 33 says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Verse 34 says, where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And verse 35, for every person who's in difficulty today, Highlight. It says that Jesus wept, and all the Jews said, see how he loved him. Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't walk up to Mary and Martha and go, hey, get it together. You know who I am. You know this is nothing for me. No. He weeps. Do not miss the fact that Jesus knows at that very moment he's about to call Lazarus out of the grave. But the Savior of the world, who said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and God and I are one, he knows exactly what's about to happen. But he is so moved by their story, he cries. Such love for the ones who are in pain, he cries. Now, we're not going to read the rest of the story because y'all know what happened. Right? He's about to call Lazarus out from the grave. And they call Lazarus out of the grave. And what happens? They get happy. They got baptism happy. We got dead folks done walked out. I'm telling you, if I get a dead person to walk out across the stage, y'all get happy. Sometimes I wonder what it would take, but I think that would do it. Don't get all churchified, though, and miss the fact that some of Jesus' disciples who are around, and you know who else is around? The friends of John the Baptist. Oh, And you know what they're thinking? Same thing you're thinking. Why didn't he do that for John? Because you see, I look at those situations and I look at our stories and I look at your story and your story and your story. I would look at John the Baptist's story, understanding what Jesus can do, and go, now, Jesus, I got a plan here. What needs to happen, if you will do something crazy, ridiculous, and get John the Baptist out of jail, better than that, you bring him back from the dead. You put his head back on his body because they beheaded him. I bet you Herod will get saved. I bet you his whole family gets saved. I bet everybody in government gets saved. And we will turn the world around if you'll just bring John back to life. And he didn't. Are you willing to ask it today? Are you willing to ask the question today? I'm going to ask it for you. Why? I don't know. I don't know. It's why you walked in today. It's why people are tuned in today. And if you're dead honest today, some of you go, well, why didn't he heal them? Why didn't he restore the relationship? Why didn't he pull my child out of addiction? Why didn't he keep me in that job? Why hasn't he allowed us to have a baby yet? I mean, we could go on and on and on. We could ask why after why after why, and your Father says, come on, just bring it. He says, but blessed, happy, joyful, not impacted by the circumstances of life, is the person who does not stop or quit simply because they can't explain it all. Blessed is the person this morning who faced difficulty and say, but I'm going to remain faithful. Blessed is the person today who says, I don't have all my questions answered, but I trust him. Blessed is the person today that says, I can't see what's going on and I don't know why this is going on, but I trust him. Blessed is the person today that in their story they have difficulty, but I'm telling you, I'm not walking away from Jesus because I ain't got anywhere else to walk. And so what we learn from these stories that we're going, Jeff, I don't know if I want to think of it like that. What Jesus is telling us today is bring your doubts, bring your questions. Some will get answered and some will never get answered. And that's okay. They're part of your story. And they don't have to be a part that makes you stop trusting God, stop following God, and stop believing in God. And if you want to know the reality of that, just look in the Bible, or better than that, just look around you. Well, I'm telling you what, we could have some testimony time. Could we have some testimony today? People say, that's right. That's right. Because today you can still go, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to believe you. Because today I know and I trust that you are at work for my good. God, I trust you today because you can still do anything. I know you didn't follow my plan I had, but you can still do anything. And I trust you today because, God, you are good and you never make a mistake. You can, in the midst of your story, say, God, I love you and I trust you because I know you care for me and you love me. You see, I think about people who were there in the midst of those stories. I think about people like Peter, right-hand man of Jesus. Peter saw all of that go down. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, he would say this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He was right there in it. He said, I'm just telling you, you can bring all the questions and all the doubts and all the fears and all the fill in the blank. I'm just telling you, cast it on him. Back it up like a dump truck and dump it today. Because he cares for you. I wonder today, in your difficulty, I wonder today in my difficulty, will we define God today by our circumstances? Or will we define God today by simply going, I know who he says he is in his word, and my circumstances don't change that. I know what's going on in my life, but what's going on in my life doesn't change the cross. And I will define my life and how I see God and how I relate to God by what he did on the cross. For we have a God who's close to the brokenhearted. We have a God who understands pain and sorrow and grief. And he looks at you and me and he says, come on. So today, with your story, the parts that people know and the parts that nobody knows about, would you simply say, God, I can't see your hand right now, but I trust your heart.
Amen.
I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. I can't see the end, but I know you're in control. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Let's pray together.